Okay. Bishalakim, the rest of the simon. We're going to talk about three major topics today. One, which is the creation of Bishal Yisrael. The second one is going to be a little bit about the timing of that creation of Bishal Yisrael. And the third one is going to be about the different types of cooking. And then we'll have some small ha'aras at the end. We saw already that there was a long-standing machlokas about how to create Bishal Yisrael for cooked items. Right, the origins of this go back to the question of how to read that Gemara of the Shalosh Melachos B'Pas, as to whether or not that's exclusive to Pas, or it also includes Bishal. Why should it be that in the context of Pas, just what we call in the Gemara Shgira Satan, or just lighting the fire, or I don't have a kindling, maybe is the right word, the precise English word, kindling the furnace, the stove, the oven for the baking is sufficient. So the Rashba says, you know why it's sufficient? It's because that's distinct for Chai Nefesh. And the Ran says, no, the Ran says, that the Ran is in Dibra Maskel Pas, in Tesvav Medbez, in the Dabi Arif. The Ran says, no, it's because this malacha, this activity of Shkiras HaTanur, is unique to the process of baking. There's something special about how you fuel a baking oven, which makes it distinct. Both the Rashba and the Ran assume that this idea, within the context of the Shalosh Melachos B'Pas, is a Pas-related heter, because the whole concept is predicated on either the Chai Nefesh Tzad or the distinctive nature of how you bake bread. Okay, right, everybody familiar with this. But the Pasha, the Mordechai, and the others assume no. The reason why it's helpful to be involved, why it creates Pas Yisrael for bread, is because that's considered a contribution. Well, if you participate in some way, then that contribution creates a status of Bishal Yisrael. And it shouldn't matter whether that contribution is in the realm of Pas or it's in the realm of Bishal. So this is the long-standing machlokas that the Rishonim are engaged in about our issue of creating Bishal Yisrael. If you look, there are two Rambams, the Rambam in Halacha Yud Gimel and Halacha Tesvav. If you read them carefully, says the Kesef Mishnah, he says he thinks the Rambam takes sides in this, because the Rambam uses is precise. The Rambam says in Perek Yud Zayin, in Yud Gimel, he says, Hidlik HaGoyas HaTanur V'Ofa Bo Yisrael, O Hidlik Yisrael V'Ofa Bo Goy, Ofa Goy, O Shehidlik HaGoy V'Ofa HaGoy, V'Bo Yisrael V'Nir Eish. Then the din is, O Ma'ash, O Kavshul Eish, Hov V'Nishtati V'Meleches HaPas, Harizu Muteres. And the Rambam says, even if you just did Hashalchas Kisim, which is a hacker, that's sufficient. However, in Tezayin, the Rambam says, in the context of Dogim Ketanim Shemolchon Yisrael Ogoy, which we'll get to, Hari Hain Kemoshin is Bashel Mitzas Bishol, then Sloyan Gar Achakach Mutarin, quote, V'chol Shebishlo Yisrael Ma'ad Bishulo, Bein Betchila Bein Besof, Mutar. L'fichach, Eminiach Agoy, Basar O Kedera Al Gabe Oish, V'hafach Yisrael B'Bas V'Hegis B'Kedera, O Shiniach Yisrael B'Gomar Agoy, Hari Zemutar. The Kesef Mishnah says, it's pretty clear from the Rambam that the language indicates a distinction, that when it comes to Shkira Satan or for Pas, Heker is sufficient. But when it comes to Bishul, you actually require cooking. And that's the assumption that the Beis Yosef carries into the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch here in Siv Zayin says you got to cook, you got to put the food on the fire. Says Rav Avadya in the Chavadas, he says, well, now, what do we do with Sephardim who are eating in Ashkenazi establishments, where either it's a hotel or a restaurant, where the, let's assume right now it's in Israel, where the establishment is owned by a Jew, because if it's owned by a guy, it's going to be a problem. But if it's owned by a Jew, but the workers, the chef
who's actually doing the cooking is not Jewish, and the Mashgiach, who creates, who is supposed to create Bishul Yisrael, does not live up to the standard of the Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't put every pot on the fire. So we'll see there's an alternative based on that. Mordechai and the other, the Chachmei Ashkenaz. So Rav Avadya says, well, we can say a Svek Sveka. Suffolk Echad is, maybe we should paskin that you don't require such a high threshold. Maybe you require something less, which we'll talk about in a minute. And Suffolk number two is, maybe since it's in the establishment owned by a Jew, it's considered Beis Yisrael, and the workers are salaried workers, or because they are employees, they're considered to be akin to Shvachos, and therefore you say Svek Sveka, even though it's Svek Sveka against the Shulchan Aruch, which he quotes Machlokas Achron, and whether you do, but Rav Avadya says, for Sfardim, when the chips are down, and I assume that in many places there are not a lot of alternatives to this, so Rav Avadya says, you can be Mako. So what's the other tzad? Right, so L'chatchila, Sfardim are going to follow Maran, and they're going to say you require actual placement of the food on the fire by a Jew to create Bishul Yisrael, otherwise it's going to be Bishul Akum. If you're in a hotel or a restaurant situation that's owned by a Jew, so Rav Avadya says you can be Mitzarif, but Ashkenazim have a different viewpoint. Before we get to the Ashkenazim, what's the...
If the guy puts it on the fire, but the Jew at some point goes and mixes the food or something like that, and... is Mar here, they were in Kar, where it improves the Bishul process, according to the Svaradim, that would also be legitimate.
Sounds like it would work because he's Mishdatif in the Bishul process, so in the Kar of the Bishul.
Even if, let's say, he's like it's like a saute. So when you have a couple minutes, you want to mix them, it's nothing burnt, that would also.
Makor.
Even if it's not Makar, the Bishul just makes it burnt, it just makes it cook nicer.
I assume that is called Makar of the Bishul.
It's not a car, it won't cook any faster, so it will just cook more evenly.
Right, so that's hastening the cooking process in a certain way, right, I think, right? That's the mahapech, like the Gemara had said, where you mahapech for meat.
Yeah, but that was a case where it wouldn't have cooked otherwise. I'm saying here it would cook.
But I'm saying, you see from that Gemara, that's considered, that's an active participant in the thing. And then we did see, right, you pick it up higher, then it's because it was sealed.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does the Ramah say? The Ramah says no. Ramah says the Yesh Chulkin, and they quote in the parentheses, the Shari Dura and the Aruch and the Mordechai, and they say that there are other options to create Bishul Yisrael. The Ramah identifies four options for creating Bishul Yisrael: Hadlakas Ha'esh, Chitui Begefalim, Hashlakas Kisim, and Esh Me'esh. Those are the four options that the Ramah gives you for creating Bishul Yisrael in an indirect way, because none of these are actually moving the food. If you're moving the food, then the Shulchan Aruch would agree. If you're Mahapech Babasar, that would be good. Oh. So Hadlaka Sa'ish. So the Ramah says, they say Hadlaka Sa'ish is sufficient. If the Jew lights the fire, and then the non-Jew comes and puts the pot on the fire, so then that is sufficient. If you look here in the Gra, he quotes in the Ran that the Ran is not happy about this. The Ran thinks that the Hadlaka Sa'ish is not a good enough threshold because it's not really a meaningful part of the cooking. Right? The Ran doesn't develop this fully, but you can argue, the Ran will say, what does it have to do with cooking? I lit a fire. Seder that I lit a fire, but my fire had no shaychus to the process of Bishul. The guy brought the pot, so my fire really isn't connected to that. So the Ran thinks that the heter of Hadlaka Sa'ish is much lower than the heter of Yechata B'Gacholim, because in the case of Yechata B'Gacholim, there's a pot and there's a fire, and my contribution to the fire by moving it around is increasing the heat, and that increase of heat translates into cooking faster or more effective cooking or more even cooking, so that's Eshtatfos Yisrael. But the Ran says, and the Gra quotes it, that this first heter is not so good. The reason why we point this out, why I'm bringing this to your attention, is because the Aruch HaShulchan points out that these are not the greatest heterim in the world, and different Achronim take, you know, when you think about how to apply these heterim, they take different perspectives on them. So understanding what is the hierarchy of the heter is very significant. Yeah, Jacob.
But if you're lighting the fire with the intent, like on a stove, with the intention that it's going to be used to cook, you're not just lighting a fire, you're lighting a fire to cook, because if the pot happens not to be on the stove at that moment, but that's, without that, you can't.
That's like turning on the oven, it's the same thing. It's not like lighting a candle.
But why is he saying that it's not an integral part of the cooking? It seemed like, I was assuming obviously the fire is being lit in order to cook. And for sure, he would say if the pot's on the stove and there's nothing lit, and then you light the fire, even though the goy put the pot on the stove, that's not a problem.
So the answer is that because when the Jew did something, there was no pot there, it's difficult. It's more difficult to attribute your maisa to that pot.
Wouldn't that be the original Shigilat HaTanur? Shigilat HaTanur originally was turning on the oven without the
yes.
side.
So we said
that's listed in one of the three melachot. That's makel by pas.
So for pas, that's okay.
Whoever
says
kitu
is fine, says that's fine too. It's one of the three melachot.
So that's what we're saying. The Ron disagrees with that.
But that's explicit one of the three melachot in the Gemara
for pas.
For pas.
I think all what Yehuda is pointing out is that then when it turns out is that the Ron's mean Gemara, that there's a Gemara about Bish, the Gemara's about Pas, and some of those things we're going to carry over to Bishul and some of them aren't.
Of course, because one of the things are placing the oven in the bread, for sure we don't say that it works, for sure that everyone agrees that works for Pas, I mean for Bishul.
For Bishul.
Everybody that it's basically supposed to be already split those three things up.
So the Gra on with this Ron.
It's hard to know what the Gra holds.
He just says, I and Ron. And when you look at that Ron, you see that the Ron is not happy about this Kula because he thinks that it's too far-fetched.
Is there a rule that when the Ron does that?
I don't know. But you see that a lot where the Gra will say, I listen. It's hard to know.
Lighting from a candle a different level?
One second. We haven't gotten to that. One second. Four different things. So far, just Hadlaka Sa'ish. The guy lights the fire. That's number one. Number two is this heter of chitu b'gecholim, the Ramah says. Right? Either hadlaka seish or chitu b'gecholim. So the shaila is, what's the origin of this heter? So the Darkei Moshe quotes it from the Trumas HaDeshen, and the pashtus is that this heter, going back to the hashvah to Pasakum, is l'chatchila. that should be considered creating Bishul Yisrael, just like it's creating Pas Yisrael. But if you look in the Darkei Tshuva in Os Nun Aleph, he's not so convinced of this. He quotes two deos, whether or not this heter of the Ramah is l'chatchila, or it's only b'dyeved. The further...
For which one?
For chitui. Two deos, whether that is l'chatchila b'dyeved. The Ramah then goes within chitui and has a further kula, where he says chitu is even below kavana, and here the Shach is upset about this. And in the Aruch HaShulchan and Os Mem Dalet, he quotes others. He says harbe cholkim al zeh to say that even chitu without kavana, the Shach quotes the Isur Behetu, says no. Shetzurch sheyachavim l'sayeh b'tikun ha'esh lahachshir. So this heter of chitu b'gecholim below kavana is also suspect, where the low kavana the Shach is not happy about. Aruch HaShulchan says harbe kol kimal zeh, and even the first heter, there are two deos in the Darkei Tshuva whether that heter is lechatchil or b'dyeved. The third heter that the Rama alludes to is hashlochas kisim, because the Rama doesn't say it straight out. He just says v'yishom da'afil lo chita Yisrael v'lo hishlach sham kisim rak esh me'esh. That's good enough. It sounds like had you done hashlochas kisim, it also would work. So that's option number three. But here also, it's not so clear that this is l'chatchila. If you look in the Magen Avram, in Orach Chaim, in Simen Tuf, Reish, Gimel, Aleph, the Magen Avram thinks that this is not l'chatchila. What's the discussion over there? It's talking about the Aser Simei Tshuva Din of Pas, Tuf, Reish, Gimel, Aleph. Magen Avram says, if you don't have Pas Yisrael that you bake by yourself, you can't bake Pas Yisrael by yourself, so get Pas Yisrael that was baked with Hashlachas Kisim. What do you see from that Magen Avraham? It's not so good. It's not L'chatchila. What's that?
But it's begun by Pas.
Yes, yeah. So for here also would be the answer, exactly.
Would you consider adjusting the knob or whatever?
So that when you're talking about adjusting the flame, assuming that it's not a case of grama, which is a further question.
I when you press the button.
Depending on whether it's grama, where the cycle is. Assuming that it's not grama and assuming that it's not taking it down. So l'chorah, that would be the equivalent of chidu b'gacholim, if you're raising the fire. The question is, what's the hesper in this hashlachas kisim? So the Rambam said that it was Mishum Heker, but the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis says, well, because when you throw in a match, it'll definitely be Mosif. So this issue of how to understand the role of Hashlachas Kisim affects the application of Hashlachas Kisim B'Zman Hazeh. In the OU sheets that we have, and in Rabbi Cohen's book, they talk about these different inventions that might be used for creating Bishul Yisrael in factories. So the glow plug as a possibility, where they plug in something that will constantly add a tiny bit of heat, or the light bulb. So they quote from Rabbi Heinemann that he liked this idea of a light bulb or something like that. So in this retort, or imagine a giant room, which is an oven, a huge one room size oven for giant cans. So let's say you're in a factory. Let's say you're in a factory, and they're going to bring a pallet jack, and they're going to drive in pallets full of cans. They're going to close the door, and in this room, they're going to cook all these cans. So, what do you say if there's a light bulb in this room for a glow plug or a light bulb to create?
You invent inconsequential
people. Exactly.
Toothpicks.
Exactly. So,
we have same it's in quilliers.
So the CRC translates Hashkisim.
Right. So they have a discussion here. So Rav Schechter is opposed to this because he thinks that the hacker needs to be in the fire. If you have a fire over here and a glow plug over there, or a light bulb over there, that's not called a hacker in the fire. It's not Hashlachas Kisim in the fire.
Ironically, there's a better hacker without the fire. So,
you have to look in each invention, does it stand up to the question of hacker, and does it stand up to the question of adding some heat? And if you're adding heat, does it need to be in the fire? And if you're having a hacker, is it possible to have a hacker that stays from, you know, from Rosh Chodesh Kislev until Rosh Chodesh Elul?
Yeah.
Is that a qualified hacker? That's what the poskim are dealing with in this issue. Yeah.
I mean, if you fit a tooth in the front of a massive Maduro, that heck will last 0.1 of a second. You can put one light bulb up out there, outside the fire, it can last a lot longer. And people say, why the heck is there a light bulb there?
But the heck will last for the duration of the flame. Meaning, this light bulb is going to be there all the time, the oven's going to go on and off, it's going to be total. That's why it's disconnected from the flame. It's not a hacker in that.
Also,
the kisim is a hacker in that.
You know, the kisim burns out of white. The mass of the kisim is adding heat. You know, that's minimally. It is. Well, that's anything for the cooking process.
It is.
It adds a tiny bit of.
Or it touches level when it's hot. If you oscillate it.
So, this is also a further discussion. And then the last case that the Rambam gives you is this idea of the Eish Me'esh, which is relevant for the cases of pilot lights. Now, in our regular houses, these don't exist. But if you have a very, very old oven, or in certain commercial contexts where they have a pilot light, so then the Eish Me'esh, that will serve, because the pilot light was lit by the Mashkiach or the Yisrael, whoever that is, and then the Akum who's carrying it over from there is going to create Bishul Yisrael based on that. Yeah.
Is that pilot always lit when you plug in the oven originally, whatever it is?
Only, I think, ovens until the 1970s.
I'm saying, but wasn't it always there? Wasn't the Jew lit it when you plug in the oven?
No, the Jew lights it originally.
No, the Jew lights it. He lights the pilot light.
40 years ago, he lit the pilot light.
A pilot has to be lit by a human being.
Has to be lit by a human being?
Yeah, that's all. How else is it going to get there?
I don't mean the initial spark.
No, there's no spark.
Yeah.
No,
the spark. Meaning, how do you make the spark? The guy lights it.
Imagine he lights it. He has the gas. You hook it up to the gas, and there's a pilot light that you light, and that flame then ends up being the source for all the...
I'm sure all ovens I've seen.
Maybe the old one. Oh, okay. The other nafka mina, major nafka mina...
Are all pilot lights always connected? Meaning, are all pilot lights always disconnected from the... Because it could be that if it's connected, that it's more like a hashlachas kisim or some sort that you're actually enlarging...
Yeah, so apparently there are different kinds. Rabbi Cohen talks about it in the Sefer. Whether or not the pilot light is integrated into the actual flame or separate.
Right, which the horror is better than the last hetzer if it's integrated.
Now, if it was initial flame, it would be just initial hetzer that you're putting on.
Right, I'm saying then. Flame. I'm saying the point is that it's better because
better.
And obviously, the last hetzer of the ma is the biggest chiddush to say eish me eish. So the more if there are pilot lights that are more similar to one of the earlier hetzer, then that's better.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so there's one other, now I'm not sure that this has much of a practical nafkamina, but I think it's important to note this. There's another very significant nafkamina from this whole overarching machlokas, which is that tiny comment that people attribute to the Ramah, even though it doesn't say Hagan, in the end of Vav, where the Ramah makes this innocent comment of, Ba'afilu lo hayim esbasho b'lof siyua ha'obi kochavim. So the Magen Avraham, the Shach and the Taz and the Gra, everyone's very upset about this Ramah. Because the Ramah makes it sound like the Jew lights something and it wouldn't go anywhere, and then the guy takes it to Machal Ben Drusai and beyond, and yet that's sufficient. But the Gemara says Beferish at the beginning of the Sugya, Naman Aleph, that doesn't work. So the Shach is upset and he says, look over, this is against the Gemara. So he suggests that maybe this is predicated on the idea that we don't really pass them like the Gemara. That the whole heter of Hashlachas Kisim for Bishul is predicated on the Halacha Shebein B'nei Bovel B'nei B'nei Eretz Yisrael. It's not consistent with the Gemara. The Taz gives you two options. Either that the Gemara itself backtracked, or that the Gemara was talking about a case where the Yisrael's contribution wouldn't have made it all the way to the Gold Circle, but it would have made it Machal Ben Drusai. It would have been sufficient. But if you look at the Mati Yehonasan here, and also the Archa Shulchan, they explain the Ramah, and they say that the Ramah is not so crazy. He's not against the Gemara. But the Mati Yehonasan says... Lo kasha midi, because when the Gemara says Shem Loin is Basha Blos Yov Din Kochavim Aser, Hechashi Yisrael Ein Osa Maisa Gomor, Raka Yisrael Nos No Ala Eish, Ubo Ovi Kochavim Vihipech Bo, In Kena Yisrael Ein Osa Kum, Vavi Kilo Ovi Kochavim Nos No Mitchil Agaba Eish Bili Shum Siya Eta Yisrael Mash Inke Kish Yisrael Osa Maisa Gomor Kum Chehikis Bo Ki Agabna Ein Siyuas Ovi Kochavim Osa Kum. Meaning, he says either the Goy put it on the fire in the first place. Or the Jew put it on the fire in the first place, but that's not what we're focusing on. It's the pshat is that the Akum didn't take it all the way because the Yisrael did Hagasa, and that's more significant. Now I did see, Yossi and I saw there were two different girsas in the Shulchan Aruch. My girsa and my Shulchan Aruch.
So the correct girsa and the bad girsa.
There's two girsos. The second girsa is Vihigis Bikadera O Shehigis Yisrael Vigamar O Vikachavim. Your Gemara, your Shulchan Aruch. I'm just saying.
Where?
In the Shulchan Aruch. What is the girsa in the Shulchan Aruch at the end of Vav?
You're also Vihigis?
Yes.
Where are you also Vihigis?
That's what I have. Yours changes it. But if you go with the Lashon of Vihigis.
Wait. Wait, in the Shulchan Aruch or the
Ramah? In the Shulchan Aruch. That's right, but the newer Shulchan Aruchs have a different girsa, right?
What's that?
What do you have?
I have both Shehigis and Shiniach in bracket.
The Shiniach is the new girsa. That's the girsa that they're working with. So if you have the girsa of the Shehigis, it actually works well for the Mati Yehonasan. If you have the girsa of the Shiniach, it works well for the Shach. So just parenthetically, so yes, the Shach and the Taz and the Gra are upset about this Ramah, but the Mati Yehonasan says no. Mati Yehonasan says in this case it's not a steer from the Gemara because the Gemara was talking about where all the Yisrael did was put it on the fire and he put it in such a way that it would never even get the Machal Ben Drusai. That's inconsequential, but
whoever put it on the fire, if the Yisrael comes along and does some mixing, we could explain the Mati Onus and to say that that is a consequential contribution. Why? Because that's part of the cooking process. And it's part of a process that lasts beyond the threshold of Machal and Yusoy, and therefore it's okay. Yeah?
Can you explain why this Ramah is more surprising than once he allowed the Shlachos Kesem, or...
So that's perfect segue to the Aruch HaShulchan. And that's essentially what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Aruch HaShulchan is a very long piece here. He starts in Os Lamed Aleph, and he goes all the way to Mem Gimel. To basically point out that essentially this is the Ramah l'shitaso, and that if the Ramah thinks that Hashlokas Kisim is a contribution, so too here it's also a contribution.
So he gets, even if your mixing was inconsequential at all?
Even if you put it on the fire and it was inconsequential.
I'm saying that the Higis.
Well, it's not about Higis. It's even if you put it on the fire and it would never have gotten to Machal Ben Drusai, that's similar to Hashlokas Kisim. That Shkira Satana is Mizr.
That's not the Ramah's case. Oh, I mean, it also about Dumiak, you're saying.
Yeah. So which how, is the Pashtas.
Well, what's the Lashon Aminah? I don't have that. How do you, what are the words then? Oshiniyah Yisrael. Oshiniyah Yisrael v'gomar v'gomar.
Yeah, Oshiniyah Yisrael v'gomar v'gokovim.
And Ramah is adding in that even if you're cooking with...
Even if when you put it on, it was in such a place that it wouldn't have gone anywhere, that's still sufficient.
Which it wouldn't have gone anywhere if you just threw a piece of paper
What the Aruch HaShulchan goes at length is to explain, he goes to reread the Gemara to say that that also is consistent based on how the Ramah is going to read it.
So,
the Shach is saying that the Gemara is against this opinion, but the Aruch HaShulchan is saying that you can reread the Gemara to say that the Gemara is consistent with this opinion.
But the Shach is saying that the Ramah is Lashitasa. That he's gone with the Shlachos Kisim works based on the Minhagar Yisrael.
But the Shach is saying that's against the Gemara.
And Hanan, we knew that already. Right? He told us before.
But that's what Aruch HaShulchan is not saying. That's
no, I know the Shach is not, but the Shach is just saying, but we don't do anything fancy here.
It's not the same. The Shach is saying it's against the Gemara. The Aruch HaShulchan is saying it's not against the Gemara.
I understand. But I'm saying the Shach is just saying, before we get the fancy svar of the Aruch HaShulchan, this is just Ramal Shitoso, so we know the Kofi and Beis.
Okay.
Meaning, it's nothing surprising here.
You still have
Kashi,
you have to...
Okay.
Well, we had this funny saying that we're willing to rely on.
So that makes it very difficult, because if it's against the Beferish Gemara and Amin Aleph, that's not good. That's why the Aruch HaShulchan is at length, yeah.
Would you say in the case, this is Lashon of, this is the first part of Mehigas Midera, and would you say that if you, let's say the guy puts the pot in the middle of the fire, and you don't need to mix it, you're bored, so you mix the pot for half a second.
So be good.
Even Mamash, you did nothing. Did not contribute any way to the Mishal process.
Well, by mixing it, that's a contribution.
No, you didn't. I'm saying,
what do you mean?
Noodles will cook regardless of whether you mix them or not. The noodles will still cook.
Right, but you contributed.
Even though you didn't actually add anything at all.
So we also see this in Hilchos Shabbos, although there it's more of a chumrah, the issue of Hagasa, whether or not it's a chashash
of bishul.
Yeah. And there's a difference between Al-Gabi Ha'esh and Shalom Al-Gabi Ha'esh, still B'Kli Rishon, but the idea of Hagasa as a significant contribution to the process of bishul is accepted. Yeah, yeah. That's okay. So the reason why I bring this up now is because this machlokas, certainly the way the Aruch HaShulchan learns it, this machlokas within this Ramah is dependent on the whole question that we started with. Meaning, the machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah about whether or not this whole bucket full of heterim works is going to play itself out potentially in this Ramah. That according to the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mati Yehonasan, that the Ramah is not so crazy, it's just consistent with his Shita, that a minimal contribution works. And then go figure that out, that fits in the Gemara. Now the others say, yes, we know the Ramah agrees that there is a minimal...
The Shach agrees to that also, right? The Shach thinks that this is a Rashi.
Yes, except just not...
Just not the Gemara.
Right. But the other Akronim will say, oh, we know the Ramah is Mekel, but not quite this far. The Chiddush of this is that the Ramah's Kula not only says, Havlaka Sa'ish, not only Chitu B'Gecholim, not only Hashlokas Kisim, not only Ish Me'ish, but, according to the way that Aruch HaShulchan learns it, and...
potentially also the Shach and the Matihonas, the Ramah's Kula even goes as far as to say where the contribution of the Yisrael was so minimal that it wouldn't have even gotten you to Machlo Ben Drusai.
That's obviously the case in the Shachat Yisam, no? Like, the contribution is not really what...
So it's different because in the case of Hashofas Kisim, you could say there's a fire and you're contributing actively to that fire where it's actually cooking, as opposed to here. If you put it, at least not the way the Mati Honestan is reading it, the way the Aruch HaShulchan is reading it, that you put it on the fire in a way that in which it would not cook on its own, even to Machlo Ben Drusai, even that is considered included in this center. That's the extent to the cool of this Ramah. The question is, how much should one rely on this Ramah? So the Aruch HaShulchan is not so excited about this. He's not so excited about this because we see that there are pikpukin on each step of the way for this heter. So depending on the circumstance, with different hashkafas relate to this in different ways. So Ayin Sham, you know, take a look. The CRC, the OU. How machmir are you going to be if it's owned by a Jew? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, well, then you can be mitzarif, the Beis Yisrael heter, if it's a Shvachos Kanuyos kind of thing. So depending on what the circumstances is, you have to look at each one of these, which is more ideal and which is less ideal. The last thing to consider in this context is the issue of factories. Because maybe we would be excited to lean on this heter in a general context, but perhaps in a factory we could be more makel. So we did see, I think we gave out the copy of Rav Moshe's psak. That was the letter from Rav Nata Greenblatt, where Rav Nata Greenblatt reported for Rav Moshe, where Rav Moshe said, you don't worry about Bishal Akum in the case where you're cooking in a factory with specialized machinery that's only created for this kind of Michael. The context there was egg rolls, where the machinery was such that it's specialized equipment, so it's not just Batei Charoshes Bechlal, but it's Batei Charoshes with unique type of machinery. What about Batei Charoshes in general? So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, this is in the Chelek Dalet Yoredeya in a tshuva, he references, he's not so excited, he says, Yesh Mekilin, to be lenient in the case where it's baked, cooked, in Batei Charoshes, says there are those who are Mekil. So I believe that the OU and others will use that as a Snif Lohakel, the Batei Charoshes heter. So if you have a kak factory, especially if it's owned by a Jew, and it's in a factory, and a lot of times it has specialized kinds of equipment, but even if it doesn't, and then you have the heter of the Ramah, of the Hashlachas Kisim, or Eish Me'eish, so then all of those things, B'tzavza, one can understand how that would be a very fine and legitimate heter.
Would you say something
that there's no kiruv, there's no chasness, there's no potential interaction between a factory worker in a commercial context and me, the consumer? You can't even buy it from the factory. You have to buy it from a retailer who bought it from a distributor who received it from the factory. Yeah.
Is there any discussions whether a lot of these factories, it's, everything's done automated and therefore there's no chashash of bishalakim?
I didn't see any discussion about the automation. When we last learned, and we should do this again, when we last learned bishalakim, we actually went to a pierogi factory here in Chicago
with the
CRC. To show us and how they do the bishalakim there. A lot of the stuff is automated, but a lot of the stuff is.
I saw the global one.
Okay, that's topic number one. The big machlokas, Sfardim Ashkenazim, Maran, and the Ramah. Topic number two is Machlo Ben Drusai. So the Shulchan Aruch here quotes two days in this machlokas, the Rashba and the Rosh, about when you cross the threshold of Machlo Ben Drusai, do you still have the potential to salvage it as Bishul Yisrael? Or do you say, no, Machlo Ben Drusai, it's cooked, there's nothing else, and once you're done, you're done. So the Shulchan Aruch is Machmir like the Rashba, unless you have Hefsid Meruba, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. But the Ramah is Mekel. The Ramah says, Yesh Matirin B'chol Inyan. And he quotes a whole slew of Rishonim who are Mekel like this. So the question is, well, what is Machlo Ben Drusai? So the Shulchan Aruch here says, Shehu Shlish Bishulo. That's the Shulchan Aruch in Ches, the Chumash in Tes.
But if you look in the Darkei Tshuva, in Os, Samach Vav, he points out that even if you want to be machmir, like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rajba, not to allow cooking post-Machal Ben Drusoi, but you could certainly rely on the Rambam and the other Rishonim who think that Machal Ben Drusoi is half-cooked.
What does Rashba think about Machal Ben Drusoi?
I don't remember. Does he mention a third? Rashi said a third. I don't remember what the Rashba said a third. I don't remember.
Like, make it like part of the
Rashba. Exactly. Meaning it's... Even if you're getting machmer like the Rashba, exactly. Even if you're getting machmer like the Rashba, you could still define the threshold of machmer ben Drusoi as half cooked.
So why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch disagree with that? I mean,
you know, he doesn't mention the Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't mention what the definition of machmer ben Drusoi is.
He does in Ches.
Not in Tes. Machmer is mentioned when he said.
Right. So the Darkei Tshuva's, the Darkei Tshuva's point is that even if you want to be machmer for the Shulchan Aruch, you can be mekel for the other definition of machmer ben Drusoi. The interesting question is going to be, what about a third category, right? There's pre-machmer ben Drusoi, so of course the Yisrael's contribution creates Bishul Yisrael. There's post, which was saying the Ramah is mekel, but the Shulchan Aruch was machmer. What about if you have a case where it's totally fully cooked, but it's mitstamek v'yafalo? Does your intervention create Bishul Yisrael now on the mitzdamek v'yafalo level, or do you say no, it's not sufficient? So these are two deis in the Darkei Tshuva in Os Samach Hei, and it's a machlokas poskim
l'maisa. Why would that be different?
Isn't the shachim? Was there anything really yesterday? We thought his korban is still on the fire. Any interaction from the Jew matters it? When we say yesterday, when we saw it yesterday, korban is still on the fire.
That was if you wanted it. That was only if you were going to be makel for hashlachas kisim. It was in a kula that if you took it off, you would be matmir. But if you before Machal Ben Drusoi,
We're talking post Bishul Kol Tzarko. So the question is, once it's Mavushal Kol Tzarko, do you say that no?
That was in the Machaber for Machal Ben Drusoi.
Right, there's no more intervention. It's finished. The fact that you're mitzdamik v'yafalo, that's the shaila. According to everyone. According to Rashi, there's nothing to talk about. We're saying according to the Ramah, according to everybody. So it's machlokas poskim. We did see, someone quoted from Rabbi Belsky about toasting, which the Sefer Bishul Yisrael was not in favor of.
It's a big chiddush.
So the toasting for sure, if Rabelsky would allow the toasting of the bread, making it into
Rabelsky pasta. Allowed it?
Yes, that was the chiddush. Someone quoted from Rabelsky.
The thing is that the pasta we use is lashon of meshubach tfei, which we don't use by Bishul. I don't know where that came from. You could say it's one of the same. But that's where Rabelsky is working.
Well, that's falls into another cool in the past Yisrael.
So I don't know. Is it another cool past Yisrael, or is it the same one? Same, you just happen to say it.
So maybe you can bring a rhyme from the past Yisrael.
Okay. So that's the threshold, the amount of cooking. It's 2 days of the Darkei Tshuva. It quotes two different tshuvas. I don't know. It's a machlokas poskim. If you look in the contemporary hashkafas, they have two opinions.
Can I ask you a similar question to that? What if the guy made noodles, and now you take them and you bake them to a baked ziti?
Oh, so we talked about this. There's a chapter in the Bishul Yisrael on this point. So it's interesting. In Hilchos Shabbos, we have a chumra for the Urayim about afia achar bishul and bishul achar afia. But one could wonder, is it just a chumrah and we shouldn't carry it over? But we did see that there was a discussion that was in chapter, right? We quoted from the Avni Nezer. We didn't look up the Avni Nezer. I did not look it up.
The Eglay Tom might disagree.
But we quoted from the Avni Nezer in the Sefer Bishul Yisrael that just like on Shabbos, there's Bishul Afarafi and Afiyar Abishul, so then you can continue the Hishtatzvus of the Yisrael through that new transformation.
You didn't
Yeah, he quotes that from the Avni Mezer.
But then we said that, and then you took the Ralach, you should just heat it up, and now you transformed it.
So we assume that that would not work.
Why not?
Because we assume there was no transformation. That even though it's Ramachmer, Abishalach, or Abishalach, you can't say that if you boil up the soup again, that's going to be called. So we did point out that is in the context once it's cooked,
and the fact that there's no halachic problem on Shabbos of
no that there is
that there is upset, that there's a halachic problem, but that's not because
right.
that not the end of the
issue. Exactly,
anymore.
And that's because and that's also an egle tal issue about the issue of why there's bishalach or bishal b'davalach. Could be that bishalach or bishal b'davalach. We talked about it in terms of heating up water. That it's not so much an issue of transforming the quality of the item. It's just that when something reaches a certain temperature from a liquid standpoint, which is most liquids are based off of water, so water to that standpoint, that level, that's considered consequential. But for this, it wouldn't be. So that's just an interesting.
Once something is cooked,
yeah,
and by definition it becomes a soul. How can you afterwards make it mutar?
That's what we're saying. Right. Because if what we say is that mitzdamik viyafalo is there's a continuity here. There's a continuation of the cooking process. Then you participated in the cooking process. That's exactly the machlokas.
But according to the Ramah, according to Shulchan Aruch, when it gets to Ben Rusai, that's it, it's over, nothing to do. According to the Ramah, when it gets to Mibushakot Tzalko, the same thing would be. If you finish the cooking process.
So that's exactly the machlokas. When do you say for the Ramah that it's finished? Do you say that when it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko or no? You say that whenever the helpful cooking process.
Well, if you define this as a soul because it's Bishul Akum, so you said, in other words, it's finished.
How do you know?
Because there's no Heksher.
I understand, but the question is, but that's exactly the Shaila. Why did you say, well, if it's Mitzdamik Viyafalo, why did you give it a label before you finished cooking it? It's still Mitzdamik, so it's still cooking. So who says you labeled it? That's exactly the Machlokas.
This is, there's no ending point.
The end point is when it would no longer be Mitzdamik Viyafalo. Even Cholent, at a certain point, at that point, it's no longer Mitzdamik Viyafalo. It's Mitzdamik Viyafalo to a certain level and not for a minute. Okay, let's talk about the third issue, which we wanted to focus on today, and that is the type of cooking. Bishul is a term that appears elsewhere in the halachic universe, whether that's Korban Pesach or Shabbos. So the general connotation of bishul means cooking with liquid. What about frying? Like cooking means in a pot with water. What about frying in a frying pan? So the Aruch HaShulchan in Chaf Dalet, he thinks it's pashut that frying in a frying pan is the same as cooking. We're going to talk about 8 different kinds of cooking, what we'll call different genres. So tigun is the first category. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's pashut that that's included.
Tigun is deep frying.
Tigun is frying, yeah. Some
not
kind of frying.
I mean, with oil, but
right.
Not.
If it's really, really deep fried, then it's bishul. If it's like a thin amount of oil, so then it's going to be tigun. If it's very, very light, just to grease the pan, that would be tzli. So that brings us to the second category. Tzli, Shulchan Aruch and Sefei says for sure, tzli is the same as bishul. What about a third category? By the way, what about maliach? So the Rambam in Halacha Yud Zayin tells us, based on the Gemara that we saw, even though for Yoredeya purposes, for bishul on Yoredeya levels, maliach is keroseach, the Rambam says beferish, maliach in this context is not subject to the restriction of bishulachim. What about kavush? So the Rambam doesn't say that expressly, but the Ramah in if Yud Gimel says gam kavush einu kemavushol delo asur elabishol shel eish. So that brings us to the next case. What does it mean lo asur elabishol shel eish? Eish mamish. Well, what about if you have something called meushan, which is smoked? So the Yerushalmi in the beginning of the sixth parak of Nedarim discusses meushan for multiple arena of cooking.
like Vishalakum, like Shabbos, Nidarim purposes. So our Girsa of the Yerushalmi is that it's an Ibaya de Lo'ifshita. There were some Rishonim who had a Girsa that the Ibaya was Nifshat Lekula for Vishalakum, but we don't have that. But for a Din Derabbanan, you're not surprised that the Rambam paskins that Me'ushan is not Kemavushal, based on that suffix in the Yerushalmi. And this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Yud Gimel, Peros She'ishnan Ad She'chshir L'achila, they're mutar, assuming even that these peros were not Nechal Chai, and that they are Olo of Shulchan Lachim, of course, the Shulchan Aruch is Mekel. So here's the question that everybody's worrying about, is what does it mean when you talk about smoking? You could talk about a hot smoke, or a cold smoke. What was the suffix in the Yerushalmi? What is creating the transformation? So when we look this up online, when they talk about smoking, the verb, the English verb that was used was curing. Curing. You're transforming the meat. You're making it edible through this curing process. So it's not exactly cooking. But there is, right, well, it's that is the verb that was being used for preparing this item from being raw to being edible. So when the Yerushalmi was mesupik, were they mesupik about a cold smoke where it's purely curing through a cold smoke, which we saw in this video where you take a very, very low level of heat and you burn the, whatever it was in that package, and that creates smoke that's going up, but the smoke is way below anything that could cook? Or is that what we're talking about, a hot smoke in the Yerushalmi? And then if it's a hot smoke, it's not going to be different, even though there is...
4th century Palestine?
I assume they did.
That?
We don't know what they had.
Cold smoke?
I assume they did.
Why not? Because, no, he had a little special packet, and it could have been a
little... That's a fancy internet sales way of... Oh, so the OU is machmir, and they only allow a cold smoke. They assume a hot smoke, that's aish or toldos aish. But the CRC is mekel. What's the base of this? If you look in the Prisha in Hilchas Zabas B'chalav, in Simin Pei Zayin, excuse me, Os Tes, the Prisha says, Mu'ushan shenis chamamu. So the question is, well, why should Mu'ushan shenis chamamu be different than regular heat? So the Chelkas Binyamin in Os Kuf Chaf Aleph, that's Chelkas Binyamin Os Kuf Chaf Aleph, he says one option is that it's not derech bishul, it's not a normal way of cooking by combining smoke with heat. And even that heat, when we looked it up, I'm not going to speak authoritatively. I don't know how it's done. It was not a lot of heat.
160.
It's not a lot, right? It's a very, very low amount of heat. So what you're doing is very low. My oven doesn't even go down that low. My oven doesn't go less than 175. But the other one, the other svar that the Chelkas Binyamin offers, which is related to this idea, is that he says it's not the chom greda. Meaning, if you put an oven put an oven at 160 degrees, would that food really cook? Hard to know. I don't know. You'd have to ask. But why is it prepared for eating now? It's because there's a combination of the smoking effect together with the heating effect. And that would be the basis for the leniency for the CRC based on this Prisha, that in a Hanami, there is heat here, but it's not the heat exclusively, which is providing the cooking. So we've had five categories so far. We had Tigun, Sli, Maliach, Kavosh, and Ma'ushan, which now brings us to the sixth category. Yes?
So, based on this, what you just said about this whole... So what about, you know, have you heard of Subi?
Yeah.
So Subi is even lower than that. Subi is cooked for like 24 hours at like 130 degrees. So would you say that that is...
I guess how does the sous vide affect the cooking? Is it the heat?
It is a cooking.
So then cooking is
it's 130 degrees.
Yeah, right. There's no other.
But there's elements. No other element, right? If it's if you could tell me that it's because the water does something, the water somehow
well,
does it, but
water,
it's not.
It heats the water, and the water is cold.
Right, but that's yeah, standard yeah. cooking.
Yeah.
I inside the sous vide, it's in a plastic bag. I don't think so. I think it's the heat.
See, if you wouldn't argue that's not direct special to cook at that temperature. Like, wasn't when the chamin were...
We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a second when we talk about steam. That's number six. Steam is edim, steam. So the Darkei Tshuva quotes two opinions, and this is a major controversy in the Achronim and has a lot of ramifications because most commercial cooking is using steam. So the question is, why would you be makel in steam? Steam is where you have a fire, and the heat is transferred from the fire through the medium of the water molecules, which are now steam, through the pipe into your plant where you're cooking. So the Darkei Tshuva quotes three svaras lahokel in this context. One is that steam is really the same as smoke. Ma'ushan and steam are the same. Second svara is that it's not from the Eish Mamash. It's somehow a derivative of the Eish. And the third svara is that they didn't have steam in the times of Chazal. So you could see how each one of these svaras is not an ironclad raya. The first one is that steam was like smoking. Well, first of all, who said that smoking was talking about hot smoke? Maybe it was talking about cold smoke. And even if it was talking about hot smoke, it could be it's different. Smoke has the extra component of that transformation of the smoking quality. You have two nekudas. It's a zevazegorim almost. Here, you just have the direct heat carried by the water molecules. The second svar was that it's not esh mamish. Yeah, but told us that esh is the same as esh. So you're going to tell me it's indirect, it's removed, that's a little bit difficult. And then the third svar was that it didn't exist at the time of Chazal. But the mechanism that we use for cooking with steam today maybe didn't exist in the time of Chazal. But Chazal had steam, maybe they didn't call it steam, but they had Zeya, they had some kind of thing. So these are back and forth. So the Sefer Bishul Yisrael in Siman Yud Beis points out that even those who are going to be makel on what we call live steam, which is where you take steam and you inject it into the food to heat it up, that he thinks that you should be machmir in the traditional cooking method of steam jackets. What's a steam jacket? A steam jacket is where you have an enormous cauldron, and around the cauldron is a pot with essentially nothing in it, and so there's a window, there's a space between the pot and the outside of the steam jacket, and you pump steam into there, and that's cooking the pot. So the Sefer Bishul Yisrael points, and he says, that's a normal way of cooking. So therefore, you should be more machmir. Last two cases. I know we're. I see everybody's running out of steam a little bit. No pun intended. You need to inject some live steam. Chama v'toldos chama. So what about cooking in the sun? Or sun derivatives? So in Hilchos Shabbos, Bishul B'chama is not Bishul, so too it's not Bishul over here, and neither is Toldos Chama. This is in the Darkei Tshuva in Os Tes Zayin. What last category, what about Mikrogal? Microwaves. So it's interesting.
Microwave.
So if you look at the Shoot, Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vosner, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, in Chelek Ches, Simen Kuf Pehe, he thinks that's Pasha, that's Usher. Bishalakam in a microwave. I think this is Pashin. And Rabbi Ganak quotes from a conversation they had with the Gaon, the Tzaddik, the Chazir of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. Shlomo Zalman said that he thought that the OU should also be Machmir. Now, this is different from the other issue that we raised last time, that it's very possible that something which is cooked in the microwave, because of the mechanism of cooking, it's not going to be Olal Shulchan Malachim. Right? How often can you think of something which is cooked in a microwave that would possibly be Olal Shulchan Malachim? It's hard to think of such a product. But, in theory, yeah.
Does that mean that it is cooked in the microwave?
Meaning? So
even though if it would be cooked in the oven, it would be Olal Shulchan Malachim because of cooked in the microwave. That's why it's not.
Right. Many Achronim point out that this, but the same way that Rabbi Belsky pointed out that we don't follow the issue of min, it depends on this food. It also would depend on the way that this particular food is being prepared. So if it's being prepared in a way that the end product, there's a change in the cheftza. A microwave potato is different than a potato which is cooked. So it could be microwave potatoes, I don't know. But, you know, when microwave eggs.
No one does that.
Maybe like a corn on the cob. You know,
right, exactly.
There's a real difference between the microwave and putting in the pot to boil or whatever.
So no, it's right, not so common.
So,
but the Chelkas Binyamin in Oz Kof Chav Zayin, he disagrees with the Shevet Alevi, and he is noted to be matir cooking in a microwave.
In Oz
Kof Chav Zayin, because the Shevet Alevi says Bisman is it microwave? It's cooking. It's using rays, and it's not using ash. But you have both chashashos. They have you with the chashash of chasnus, and you have the chashash of shemayach lenu davar tomei. It's a standard process of preparing food. It's usher. But the Chelkas Binyamin says, wait a minute. We said the lashon in the Shulchan Aruch was that it's got to be something like the Ramah said, lo usher elo bishul shalesh. Microwave's not ish. And therefore, he's no to lahakim.
The question is if the ish is a siman or a sibat. If it's a siman or a delat bishul, and therefore it's a, because it's delat bishul, is it derech bishul? So that's another issue.
Could argue that there's no, that most things that you put in a microwave, you don't cook them, you just reheat them. That's also an argument.
It's no worse than, no better than plata.
That's the question. Do you cook on a plata? I don't think people cook on a plata.
Do
you cook on the plata or you heat it on the plata? You cook it?
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's...
Israeli platas are harder than American ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I want to wrap it up. Let's hold that just last point here, which is the final din in Shulchan Aruch here in Se'if Tezayin is the Tudeus regarding Asrin Kalim. So we already pointed out Rav Shechter's Ha'ara that the Shach, who assumed in Kuf Yud Beis that Bishul Akum is Batal Barov, doesn't require Shishim, is Soser, the Chumra, the first Deya, that you require Hagala Hechsher on Kalim. So we had to suggest that there's a special Isser of Hishtamshus B'Kalim, even though technically speaking it's going to be Mutter. The Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions, and so in the Aruch HaShulchan in Os Nun, he quotes both opinions. I'm trying to remember if he had a comment on this. He quotes both opinions. No, that's not what I was looking for. There it is. It's in the Shach, actually. Excuse me. It's in the Shach and Chafalaf, where the Shach says, if it was Nizbash Laban B'dieved, V'yesh Rov B'tavshil, Shari D'bishal Akam is Batal B'rov. And so, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Shechter assumed that lechatchil we should be machmir, but b'dieved b'shas tchak you can rely on the lenient opinion. And the Bir Hagwah quotes on the Yesh Omrim she'ein tzarech king kasan ruke Yosef in the end of Yevamos. So it's hard to know whether that means that he's machriya in that way. But who else quoted that they heard that Rav Shechter said the same thing? You heard that Rav Shechter said the same thing, that b'dieved you could be make a b'shas l'chak. So to summarize, we talked about Shkira Satan or Bapas, the Machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, and the four and potentially five applications or nafkaminas of the Ramah's Kula. We talked about Machl Ben Drusai, and then we talked about the eight contexts, the eight kinds, alternative kinds of Bishul, and then this last issue about Kalim, l'chatchila we should be Machmir, but b'dieved, perhaps you could rely on the minority opinion.